Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix. Caption: This film was created by and with individuals who have struggled with eating disorders, and it includes realistic depictions that may be challenging for some viewers. Logos appear: Ambi Group, Spark House, and Mockingbird Pictures. A bright light shines, then comes into focus. Two young women walk down a brightly lit corridor of a hospital facility. Next, they sit around a table with other young women and create collages from magazine clippings.
It's like every time you turn on the TV or look at a magazine, it's, oh my God, this cake is so delicious. And like your reward or something. And then you turn the page and there's some sad, fat before girl and she's all, I hate myself. And then the thin aftergirl goes, I did this diet, now I'm happy and everyone loves me. What about the chocolate cake? It's like they're trying to drive us crazy.
Ugh, society's to blame. The world is so unfair. I have to die. There's no point in blaming everybody. Live with it.
Ellen, do you think there's a way you can express that without discounting Penny's feelings?
Frail-looking, with dark hair and eyes, Ellen smirks and holds up a piece of cardboard. Letters cut from the magazine spell out, suck my skinny balls. It's not the end. Penny sneers as another girl smirks. The facilitator looks shocked. Now, Ellen wears a beanie-style hat, coat, scarf, and sunglasses as she pushes a trolley cart loaded with her belongings down the hospital hallway. A young woman with curly black hair rounds a corner, and Ellen slides down her sunglasses.
Bitch. Told me you'd lose. You owe me a cart and a can.
The woman smiles. Now Ellen sits in the back seat of a taxi cab. A stern-faced man drives, glancing at her in the rearview mirror. It's not the end. Ellen looks out the window as they pass food stores and fast food restaurants. Every little penny made taxi cab drops her off on a residential street. Ellen stands on a manicured lawn in front of a quaint single-story house painted beige with white trim. She lights a cigarette and looks lost in thought as she smokes. A woman with a ponytail answers the door. Ellen comes in holding a pillow.
Oh my God, look at you. Your parents are gonna kill you.
No more trips to TJ, Rosa. I think they put cement in your lips.
Your mom said take the room in the garage.
There's a room in the garage now? Every time I come home, you have a new face and there's more house.
It was gonna be your mother's office.
She's not my mother.
In the makeshift bedroom in the garage, a bed is set up amongst boxes and storage items stacked against the walls. Several broody black and white sketches have been stuck to the wall, including one of a person on their knees, head hunched over and covered by their hands. Ellen is on the floor doing continuous sit-ups.
Your father and mother are eating out.
Okay.
Rosa serves dinner to Ellen and another young woman.
Are you on that dating app again?
No.
Ellen, what? You know what I'm doing.
Ellen does a mock stretch, then surveys her dinner plate as the other girl looks at her cell phone.
All right, go. Get ready. All right, ready?
Mm-hmm.
280 for the pork, 350 for the buttered noodles, 125 for the buttered beans, 150 for the roll, and 75 for butter. You got it.
All of it.
Yeah. Dang. My God, it's like you have calorie Asperger's.
I mean, holy applause.
You're a pro. Okay, wait, no. So how many calories do you think boogers have?
Don't say that.
What? She probably knows. You know, right?
Not just the beans, the meat.
I'd say snot's pretty low. Maybe like 5-10, depending on the size of the pickings.
The meat.
Mm-hmm.
And you are both being disgusting.
You know, you used to have a jar that you kept all your boogers in?
No, I didn't.
You absolutely
A redheaded woman arrives.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Sorry, we couldn't pick you up.
Work.
She gives Ellen an awkward hug. Then they sit in a bedroom.
Did you get settled in?
So, Jack is very upset with you. He's very worried.
Why doesn't Jack tell me himself?
Your father would rather you and I have this talk. Okay?
Right.
It's not that he doesn't care. He cares too much. You don't know. The doctor said you were defiant and a bad influence on the other girls. Is this what it's gonna be now? Are you proud of yourself?
I'm maintaining.
I have to weigh you. The agreement was you could live here as long as you kept up your end of the bargain. You want to go back to your mother's?
Mom moved to Phoenix with Olive.
Yeah, that's what I mean, Phoenix. We can put you on the bus. First thing tomorrow.
In a bathroom, Ellen strips off her bulky clothing and her stepmother balks at her thin skeletal frame. Her abdomen is concave and her ribs protrude.
Jesus. I had that cold and
I don't want to hear it. Get on.
It's not at zero. Stop it.
Ellen steps on a scale. Her stepmother peers over her shoulder to see her weight and sighs with distress.
Okay. Turn towards me.
Wearing only a bra and black nylons, Ellen has to turn around and have a full-length body photo taken. She looks at the photo.
Do you see that? Do you see what you look like?
Yeah.
Do you think that's beautiful?
No.
So what are you gonna do about it? Jesus Christ, we can't do this again. I can't do this again.
She walks out of the bathroom. Looking dejected, Ellen kicks the scale. Back in baggy clothes, tracksuit bottoms, and an oversized flannel shirt, Ellen steps out of a room and into a hallway, tiptoeing toward a closed door, listening. She turns and walks down the dark hallway, stopping at a second closed door. Her sister comes out of her room.
You have a car now, right?
Yeah.
Evening. Shown in silhouette, they walk up a hill.
You're using me to burn off half a pack of lifesavers or some shit. View is best.
Now they overlook a city and swig from a bottle. Still in silhouette.
Hey, look.
The sister lifts the back of her shirt.
Don't tell anyone, okay?
A butterfly tattoo?
Yeah.
Were you drunk?
No. Butterflies are classic.
They're retarded.
Okay, I'm sorry I didn't have your artistic eye to advise me. So we got a retarded butterfly. I think it's pretty.
Dad and Susan are gonna kick me out. Or drag me back to treatment.
Okay, so eat.
I eat.
You know that I love you like a full sister, but you look like absolute crap. And every time I ask you why you do this, I always get some stupid non-answer from you.
At least I'm a cheap date. That stuff goes further on an empty stomach.
I've got it under control. Nothing bad's gonna happen.
How many people do you think are down there? Like 2 million? I bet a bunch of them who are about to die just said the exact same thing.
Morning. Ellen sips an enormous glass of soda and ice. Stepmother Susan comes into the kitchen.
That's not breakfast.
Neither is coffee. Dad home?
He had an early meeting. Hey. You have a choice. There's one last person that we want you to see, a specialist. It wasn't easy getting an appointment.
I think maybe I will call my mom. I should at least try Phoenix.
We spoke to your mother last night. She says it's not a good time for her to take this on. But she sends hugs.
In the garage bedroom, Ellen sits on the bed looking at her laptop. She looks through a Facebook page for Judy Bell. It has a logo for Color of the Wind, along with photos of two women and horses. Ellen runs a hand along one arm. She pulls her shirt taut to gauge the size and shape of her upper arm, trying to wrap her entire hand around it. She looks back at the laptop, then closes it. Now Susan drives as Ellen sits in the passenger seat, gazing out the window.
Now, you know me, I enjoy people, but your mother is selfish. Do you think we wanted to stay in the valley, North Hollywood? But with this and school for you and Kelly, only thing we can afford. Not that I love the west side, you can never find parking. Well, at least on our side, we have Pier 1, which I love. Over there at the Grove, all you have is
waiting room.
World Market. I mean, all that is just junk. You too? Was it hard getting an appointment?
Mother and daughter.
We were on the waiting list for 6 months.
6 months? Ooh, that wasn't that long for us. I guess word is out about his success rate. So I hear that his methods are a little unconventional.
They're quite radical. But we've tried everything else. Renfrew, Maudsley.
Maudsley? Oof, you're brave. Was that a nightmare?
Ellen walks away.
It took a long time getting used to it.
In a bathroom, Ellen drinks from a faucet. The daughter walks in. Her hair is long and blonde, and she wears a school uniform.
Does that really work?
No, I'm just thirsty.
How old are you, anyway? Your mom said you had to drop out of college.
20. And she's not my mom.
20, wow. And you're some kind of artist? That lady said you're kind of famous.
She's nuts.
Ellen lights a cigarette.
But you had, like, some crazy fan or something.
Susan, my stepmom, has a reality problem. You get one letter, you have a crazy fan.
Seriously? She made it sound like you had a stalker or something.
Yeah. Not even.
Doctor's office.
She said she was taking the antidepressants, but she'd been flushing them down the toilet. She was afraid they would make her gain weight. And I know she has a right to lash out. Her mother, Judy, she is a bipolar lesbian.
That is not why.
Judy has had several breakdowns, hospitalizations. Poor Ellen had to call us one time because her mother was writing her own Bible on the walls. Judy came out when Ellen was 13. The child is going through puberty, and overnight she's got two moms. Traumatic. Has got to have something to do with the weight and...
It sounds rough. But looking for one reason is a losing battle. It's never that simple.
Absolutely. I say that to her father all the time. He blames himself. Now, I think throwing Ellen into the deep end real life might do her some good. My family was on welfare. We had nothing.
Okay, thank you. I think I got it.
Exam room. The doctor looks at Ellen's back. Her spine protrudes and is bruised.
You do a lot of sit-ups.
Not that many.
It wasn't a question. That's where you get these bruises on your spine. Your stepmom always talked that much?
You know how sharks have to keep swimming or they'll die? Just kind of like that with talking.
He presses a stethoscope to her back.
Take a deep breath. Let it out. Again. And one more. When was the last time you got your period?
God.
He looks at her hands, wrists, and fingernails.
It must have been
a long time ago.
I don't feel that unhealthy, you know. If I want to be thin, don't they say that that's better? I'll outlive the normies.
You like this? The furry?
What? I'm not.
The new gum. Your body's trying to keep you warm by making more hair. But you know that, right? I talk to kids like you all day, every day. So I know that you are, as a rule, full of shit. You're not thin. You scare people. And I'm guessing you like that.
But the way that you're going, one day you won't wake up. And I'm not going to treat you if you aren't interested in living.
Good speech.
If I'm going to help you, you have to agree to a few things.
What?
No talk about food. I'm not interested. It's boring and not very helpful. And your parents can't talk about it either. You're on your own. Understand?
Yes.
You'll agree to a minimum of 6 weeks inpatient.
I don't need more inpatient.
Then find another doctor.
He makes notes in her chart. Now, Susan.
Well, he wants to admit me on Monday.
He said that? He said he'll admit you. This is great. What exactly did he say?
At home, dinner.
Is Dad coming?
You know, we didn't have much time to talk, but he's on his way home.
Dad's coming?
He's on his way, but he said not to wait.
So he's not coming.
Hey, what happened to that sweet girl that I met at Transitions? The Mexican.
Angel?
Mm-hmm.
Her mom's from El Salvador.
You know what I mean. You two seem very close, and I want you to know that it's fine if you were.
Ellen glances to her sister, Kelly.
Thank you, Susan.
Jesus, Mom, just because her mom is gay does not mean that she's gay.
You can get married now. I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying, you know, if you had that kind of turmoil, then you might feel like you don't deserve to eat.
Pussy, you mean?
Looking uncomfortable, Susan sips a glass of white wine.
Are you done? I've got a special dessert.
Yep, all done.
Ellen hands over her nearly full plate.
Well, I'm so sorry Dad couldn't be here for your lesbian coming out party. It really sucks. I mean, I believe it, but no, I'm fine. Will you try this time? I mean, maybe this doctor is really great. Can you please just try this time?
A cake shaped as a giant burger. Eat up Ellen is written across the top.
Isn't it funny?
It's a cake.
Kelly glares at her. Now Susan drives. Ellen is in the passenger seat. She wears dark sunglasses and stares out the window as she bites her fingernails. They arrive at a two-story house on a quiet residential street.
This is it? You sure?
A young woman with glasses hurries from the porch and takes Ellen's suitcase.
Hi.
Oh, that's okay.
Please, so I can get my points.
Okay.
So what's your name?
Ellen.
Anna. Bulimia nervosa. Although more nervosa than bulimia now. That's Kendra. Here you go. Up on the threshold. I'll go get Lobo. Lobo?
This is very nice, homie.
A young man wears a tie.
Hey.
Hi, are you Lobo?
Lucas. Like mucus.
Shaking Ellen's hand.
But I prefer Luke. Lobo's a dame.
Dame?
A broad, a skirt. Raymond Chandler is my muse since I got here. To the hard-scrabbled streets of LA, that is.
Wow.
I'm from London, originally.
London? How interesting. And did you come all this way for Dr. Beckham?
By way of Jersey. It's a sordid tale. But he's the best, so...
Well, Ellen's from Los Angeles.
How interesting.
Not really.
Susan gives a sugary smile.
Well, see you around, sweetheart.
A woman shows them into a bedroom. A young woman sits on a bed wearing a furry animal hat.
Here we go. Nothing fancy. That's Pearl. Anna's in here too when she's not running around. We usually have 6 patients, but right now we have 7 because of Luke. He's down the hall.
Okay. I like your pants.
Thanks. I like your ponies.
Thanks.
Pearl touches a tube in her nose.
Sorry. It's gross.
Oh, this girl from the last place I was in had a permanent tube in her stomach. She refused to chew.
Ew. I chew.
So I'm gonna have to search this. Any knives or exactos I should know about? Are you a cutter?
Nope, not that on trend.
Some of these girls are cutters.
Oh yeah, we have a lot of overachievers in here.
Searching the suitcase.
I'm gonna have to take these.
It's just a multivitamin.
It's a vitamin bottle. Could be diet pills, speed, laxatives, and we don't have time to test for everything. We'll give you a vitamin. And can I have your phone, please? Do you have any other electronic devices? iPad?
My iPad doesn't even have wireless. I just use it to draw.
Dr. Beckham says you should draw on paper until he says different.
God, what did you say to him?
I just explained the situation.
Okay.
I should let you get settled, right? Is Dr. Beckham here? I'd like to just pop in before I go.
He's only here in the morning and usually stops by after dinner.
I just, I thought you should know about her tricks.
We know all the tricks.
That's why we don't have any doors. They know we jog around the room all day if nobody could see us. Be like the Rexy Olympics up in here.
Okay. Call us if you need anything and, we'll see you soon, okay? Be good.
Okay.
Not too good. Not perfect.
Got it. You got it.
As Susan leaves, she passes another room and sees a young girl, bone thin. They make eye contact and Susan hurries off.
Pearl usually gives a tour, but obviously she is not going anywhere. So, Luke is your guy. Ellen? Luke.
We've met. Onward.
A craftsman-style room with a fireplace and seating area.
This, as you can see, is a living room. We meet here twice a day for bitch and bull.
What?
It's what we call our group therapy. Well, it's what I call group therapy.
What's the deal with levels?
I prefer to think of them as draconian points earned for good behavior. Like when you were little and you had chores, if you had chores. This is the torture chamber, also known as the dining room. Chores, which I never had because that would assume I had parents who gave a shit.
So you do chores to get points?
Among other things, yes. And Lobo and the other nurses and counselors can give them or take them away at will. Amass enough points, level up. Earn extra privileges, like you can go out of the house on your own. I'm actually currently deciding on where to go on my next outing. So far I've eaten at 9 of the places on Jonathan Gold's Essential 100 list. And Jonathan Gold is my muse.
Raymond Chandler was your muse a few minutes ago.
I know. Isn't that fantastic? Nobody can keep up with
In the living room, a dark-haired woman leads a group session.
So welcome to our new house member, Ellen.
Hi.
Hi, Ellen.
Hello.
So how this works, this is just an end-of-day check-in. The morning sessions are a little more focused. This is just to talk about our struggles and our victories and any other issues we might be having here in the house. Let's start with Pearl.
Struggle. I got tubed today, and, you know, it hurts. Now I feel all hot. I can't stop thinking about how many calories are in that drip. They won't say.
1,500. I looked it up. I was tubed a couple times.
Ellen, we try not to crosstalk. We don't talk about numbers or weight or anything like that.
Sorry. 1,500?
How are you feeling right now, Pearl? It's okay.
I don't know. Just that it's hard getting better.
And I'm guessing that you're worried about how you're going to be burning it off, especially when everybody here's watching you. Do you know why you feel that way?
because I have an addiction?
In a way, yes. When the exercise and the rituals kick in and the cyclical thoughts about weight take over, everything else goes away. And starving yourself can make you feel euphoric, like a drug addict or an alcoholic. It's not about thin enough, right? There's no thin enough. It doesn't exist. What you crave is the numbing of the thing that you don't want to feel. And we give you a lot of rope here. It's scary, but only you can decide to see what's good, to be alive. You understand?
Kind of. I'm trying.
Yeah, you are. Talk to me, brother.
My victory was leading a fantastic house tour and earning another point, which means I get to go to Gelagatsa Oaxacan restaurant, number 26 on Mr. Gold's Essential 100. And affordable, which is also essential. Ballet companies don't pay you a fortune.
That's great. Talk to me about your struggles.
Don't know, really. I guess I'm obsessing about my injury and if I'll be able to perform when I get out of here. But I've got a goal, so that's good.
You have a couple of goals. Eating Oaxacan and getting healthy so you can dance again.
Damn straight. I got goals coming out my wazoo.
Alan?
Struggle, coming here. I mean, accepting that I have to come here.
So maybe your victory is that you're here.
Yeah, maybe.
Later, the group is gathered in the dining room at mealtime. Ellen observes Luke take a helping of pasta salad. Kendra eats from a jar of peanut butter. A brunette has only hard-boiled eggs cut in half. Lobo wanders in.
Did Luke explain about meals?
No. By the time we got to that, he was on to some musical.
Sugar blues.
That.
Everybody singing the sugar blues. Sugar blues.
He stands up, using the tongs as an instrument. Lobo gives him a look, and he sits.
Oh. Eat what you want. If you have special food, like Kendra here does, that's fine. We'll get it for you.
That's it?
No, you're definitely judged. When you eat, points magically appear.
What he means is, if you're maintaining or moving towards your goal, you go up a level. How you do it is up to you.
Really?
Yeah, but no one leaves the table at mealtime, and bathrooms are locked for 30 minutes after. And there's no point pretending to eat or throwing up into the plants or whatever. It smells, and it doesn't end up on the scale.
Got it. Thank you, Lobo.
De nada.
Right. Who wants to say grace?
Oh, sorry.
A blonde puts down her knife and fork and motions to Luke.
Dear Jesus.
Take us to church.
Allah, Oprah, My Little Pony, or whoever your personal savior is. Help us to give our bodies what they need to grow strong and beautiful, because every single person at this table deserves to live.
Amen.
Bon appetit.
Luke begins his well-rounded meal.
Oh my God, this is so fucking good. Oh my God.
Pearl looks horrified and runs away from the table. He follows. The blonde looks over to Ellen.
You freaked her out with the 1500 thing. I mean, it's not your fault.
No,
it's not your fault. I mean, don't stress. How many inpatients have you done?
Four.
Six. The rest of these guys, they have no idea. I mean, Pearl's not actually just upset about the tube. She might get kicked out.
Seriously? I mean, she looks pretty sick.
No, Dr. Beck says hospitals are for sick people. We're here to get over that shit.
The brunette helps Kendra with dishes.
Ice cream's my favorite. It comes up the easiest.
How do you know you gotta go?
When your barf is clear and it doesn't burn anymore.
Oh, I wish I could barf. I'm only good at the binging part.
To Ellen.
You purge?
I tried. It's not my thing.
So how do you get rid of it if you can't barf? It's gross.
Ellen returns to the dining room to clear the rest of the dishes. She sees Pearl in the living room. Luke rubs her back and consoles her. Later, Ellen sits in bed, sketching on paper. She draws Pearl with her nose tube and furry animal hat. Dr. Beckham.
Hey there. Settling in?
Yeah. Where's everyone else?
May I?
Okay.
He sits on the edge of her bed.
Anna went to the movies. Points.
Cool.
I'm having your family come in for a group session tomorrow afternoon. It's standard when I see new patients. If it's productive, we'll do it from time to time.
Okay. Even my mom?
Even mom.
Wow.
I told her it takes me longer to drive in from the valley than it does to fly from Phoenix. Okay, kiddo. Glad you're here.
I didn't mean it. I didn't mean for my drawings to do what they did.
What?
On Tumblr. I know Susan told you what happened, and well, it'll come up, I bet.
Right.
I was just doing what all my teachers told me to do.
Draw what you know?
Yeah.
I hear you. Just keep it for yourself. For now. Okay?
Okay.
Good night.
Later, Ellen is asleep. Anna returns to the room, waking her. She stirs and sits up. Not realizing she's being watched, Anna slides a paper bag under her bed, then takes wet wipes and rubs them down her arms, then around her neck. She turns and sees Ellen.
Oh, sweaty. You ran home from the movies. Don't tell anyone. Okay. What movie did you see?
Ellen begins doing sit-ups in bed as Anna gathers up her toothbrush and other hygiene items.
Mutually assured destruction.
Morning. Anna, Pearl, Ellen, and Luke stand in the hallway waiting to be weighed.
I'm breaking 120 today, dolls.
Is that going up or down?
Up. 89 when I came in.
89? How tall are you?
The blonde emerges from a room, looking upset.
You're a beautiful unicorn.
You. Cheer, Captain. Come on.
All right. Let's do this.
Luke follows Lobo into the room.
Megan's been gaining. She's flipping out. But, I mean, she wants to, I think, for her baby. She's pregnant? Oh, nobody said?
Jesus, I didn't even think
that. I know. That's why Luke calls her the unicorn. She gets her period once and gets pregnant on some guy she barely knows. I'm never having a baby. No way.
Hospital waiting room. Kelly sits near Ellen. Susan answers her phone.
Where are you?
It's probably Dad, right? Making some excuse.
Yeah, no, I heard them fighting this morning.
Great. That's great.
Two women arrive, one petite with dark hair, the other tall with reddish blonde hair. The dark-haired woman sees Ellen. A look of sadness and disbelief crosses her face.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Mom.
You look like a ghost.
It's okay.
She presses her forehead to Ellen's.
Mom, it's okay. It's okay.
They all meet with Dr. Beckham.
No, Dad?
I'm sorry. Work.
Well, he has to support his family and pay alimony still and the medical bills and
understood. All those.
Bet you didn't expect this much guy energy today.
I do think this is a record number of mothers for one patient. Okay. I want everybody to understand nobody's on trial here. I just want to get a sense of the family.
Mother Judy and then her partner.
Well, until recently, Alan lived with us.
She moved in with her father 18 months ago. Mm-hmm. We thought it might be good for her to heal that relationship. He's shown little interest in who Ellen really is. He's only interested in who he wants her to be.
Ellen is an artist. She's extremely bright and sensitive. She was never going to go into Chinese or computers or what have you.
Is that what you think your dad wants for you?
I don't know. I guess I think he just wants me to be able to make a living.
Exactly. Is that a crime?
No crimes, remember?
The point is, Ellen's father never saw who she was. He left when she was very young.
Yeah, because you were sleeping with your best friend. Over there?
No, that's not why the marriage ended.
Oh, really? There's a better reason?
We are not here to defend our relationship.
When are you going to come up with a different narrative, Susan?
What really? Narrative?
What narrative, Susan?
No, this is the truth.
Jack didn't want to have sex.
Well, he likes it with me just fine, twice a week, like clockwork.
Oh, my God.
Besides, he's not the one who abandoned her.
We did not abandon Ellen. We moved to Phoenix.
They threw her out. They put her bags on the street.
Because we'd been dealing with Ellen's illness alone for years.
I didn't abandon my daughter. I love her more than life. I just didn't know what to do. I mean, she's dying right in front of us.
What's going on with you right now?
Ellen glances around the room.
I'm sorry. That I'm not a person anymore. I'm a problem. And it's all my fault?
Fuck fault. Fault and blame have no place here. Only how you want to live moving forward. Who you want to be. How about you, Kelly? What do you think of all this?
I feel kind of angry, I guess. I just don't really get it, you know, just eat. I don't know, it's just like it's not her life that she's just missing out on. It's my life too, you know, I don't get to have a sister. You know, I look at pictures of my prom and stuff, and all I think of is like, oh, that's when Ellen was in the hospital, or that's when she fainted on the bus.
Right.
And all of my friends, they think that she's some kind of freak. Like a freak who killed a girl.
Because of the blog.
Tumblr. Yeah, and that's bad enough, but now people want to be like her and look like her and go through what she's going through.
Nobody died because of Ellen's artwork, okay? There's plenty of stuff out there for people to fetishize.
But that certainly didn't help to have notoriety for starting.
But that's what I'm saying. Ellen has talent.
I didn't say she doesn't.
But if you hadn't made her take her artwork away from her audience, she might have found her voice.
Ellen took it down herself after that young woman died because she knew it was the right thing to do.
You are so full of shit, Susan.
What?
Do you even hear what Judy is saying?
A young woman died.
No.
Meet me in the car. No.
Amidst all the arguing, Ellen seems to retreat into her own thoughts. After the meeting, Judy takes her aside.
Okay, we're gonna miss our plane.
All right.
All right?
Okay.
Ellen, be strong, okay?
Judy and her partner walk out. Looking deflated, Ellen sits down next to Kelly.
I'm really sorry if I got you in any sort of trouble.
Please, no, I'm sorry. I hate that.
No, it's whatever. Forget it.
What a shit show. You really need to get better so you never have to see those people ever again.
If you die, I will kill you.
Ellen nods. Kelly hugs her.
Okay. I'll see you. See ya.
Ellen sits alone, looking lost in thought. Now evening. Back at the transition house, Ellen sits on her bed, checking the circumference of her arms. Pearl.
Dinner.
I'm staying up here.
You don't have to eat, but the rule is that everyone has to sit down.
Pearl leaves. Ellen glances across the room, catching sight of the paper bag under Anna's bed. Getting up and glancing over her shoulder to be sure she's alone, she crosses the room and kneels down, sliding the large paper bag out from under the bed. Opening it up, she peers inside, then recoils from the smell. Looking sickened, she closes it back up and returns it under the bed. In the dining room now, Luke chats with Megan.
Have you been thinking about baby names?
Not yet.
I have a whole list of favorites that you can have. I was actually considering a new moniker. What about Dean? Or Tex?
When I get out of the first trimester.
Do you want to get out of the first trimester?
Jesus, Luke.
Stay out of this, Mia. This is between us Rexies. She knows what I'm talking about.
I don't know. I'm terrified. Just feel so out of control. But it's kind of a miracle, you know, because I didn't think anything was working down there. So maybe I'm supposed to have this baby. And I want to. I just want to think about something besides me for once.
Amen, sister.
We should have a baby shower.
No, I don't want to jinx it.
No, please, a shower would be so cute.
Yeah, no. All right, fine. Maybe if I get past 12 weeks.
Yay.
Well, we're going to help you make it past. Every bite you take feeds the miracle.
Pass the potatoes. Oh, my God.
Are you sure?
I don't know. Just don't stop.
Here they are.
Miracle potatoes.
Miracle, miracle potatoes. I like that.
Pretty good.
How about the newbie? How you doing?
I'm finished.
Ellen has cut the breading off a small piece of chicken, but not eaten a bite. She walks out.
What happened?
She had family therapy today.
Makes sense.
She passes Anna on the stairs.
Hey. I missed dinner.
Found your barf stash.
Keep this to yourself, and I'll get you some laxatives.
I don't use.
Come on, I know you want them. I think I haven't seen that thing that you do.
What thing?
Making a ring with her fingers.
Making sure your arm doesn't get bigger than what? A silver dollar?
Deal.
Ellen rolls her eyes and goes upstairs. Anna heads to dinner. Later, outside, Ellen sits on a swing, smoking a cigarette. Luke comes outside and sits in a nearby chair. The small yard is filled with plants and trees and illuminated with white lights.
Cigarette for dinner. That's not gonna get you points.
Not in the mood.
Okay.
And who in hell made you house dead, mother? You walk around here like you've got it all figured out. Well, if you're so fixed and special, why don't you go back to New Jersey or London or wherever the fuck you're from?
I am going back, as soon as my BMI is closer to my age. But right now, I'd rather try and help people than mope about feeling sorry for myself.
You have no idea how I'm feeling.
I never said I did.
And what, you want to help people? What, are you a doctor now? You feel pretty proud of yourself?
Yeah, I am, actually. I'm moving the needle in the right direction. Sorry if that scares you. But people actually go home sometimes and have a life. Even people with fucked up families. Yeah. There goes that fucking excuse again, huh?
Luke walks off, leaving Ellen open-mouthed. Now Ellen lies in bed, wide awake. Still wearing her flannel shirt, she folds her arms across her chest, then checks the circumference of her upper arm, trying to wrap her fingers around it. Finally, she gets out of bed. In his own room, Luke sits on the floor, one leg extended, the other tucked up against him as if in a dancer's stretch.
Enter.
Hey.
Hey.
Don't be all pleased with yourself.
Wow. I never thought I'd meet anyone more defensive than I am.
And yet. So you've been here a while.
6 months.
Photos of a dancer.
Is that you?
Hard to believe, I know.
I didn't mean that. Yeah, I can tell that it's you. Incredible.
You know what it's like to be 19 and feel like you've already peaked?
I'm a relief.
No. I loved it. I could push it and push it. And then I broke and went batshit, obviously. But my knee's getting better, and my company director says he'll have a place for me as soon as I get my act together, so...
It's my drawing.
Yeah. I printed it off your Tumblr like a year ago. That's why I acted like such a spaz when you first got here. You were like my...
Your muse?
Shut up. I just figured somebody so talented I had to be brilliantly charming to get you to like me.
Well... You overshot.
I'm aware. In my defense, though, I've been running on empty for so long that when I actually eat now, I get this crazy burst of energy.
That's why you're so weird.
I'm always weird. That's why I'm assertive.
How do you do it? Eat. I mean, I see you and it just... I don't know, I get all panicky even thinking about it, like... The world's gonna fall apart.
I feel that way. But, you know, feel the fear and do it anyway.
Yeah, but aren't you scared you won't be able to stop? That you're just gonna, like...
Be like one of those guys who has to be lifted out of his bed with a crane. Yeah. But Dr. Beck says that's not gonna happen, so...
Yeah, but he has to say that.
Well, he's pretty straight up. Plus, I'm not gonna lie. I'm really fucking hungry. Like 2 years worth of hungry.
Whenever I can't sleep, I draw food.
Oh, yeah? Like, what?
Do you know what a Google cluster is?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Greatest candy bar ever. Peanutty, marshmallowy greatness. Oh, it's 240 calories, though. 110 from fat.
Oh, calorie Asperger's.
Maybe.
My last meal would be a whole box of them.
Oh, yeah? And how would you eat them? Show me.
You wish. Right. Well, I'd better...
Right.
See you tomorrow?
Where else would I be? Epic.
Morning. Ellen wears only a tank top and underwear as Lobo escorts her into the weigh room.
Step on. Unless you want to face the other way.
No, I'm good. I didn't sew rocks into my panties if you're worried.
I'm not.
Ellen's spine and shoulder blades protrude sharply from her rail-thin frame.
Step off.
Wow, that's bad.
You know what the body burns after there's no more fat? Muscle. Organ tissue. Pretty soon you're gonna be flopping around here like a boneless fish.
for that. Yeah. I'm scared straight.
She wraps a blanket around herself and walks out.
Anna, you're next.
Evening. The group is in the living room watching a movie.
I want a baby dragon.
Ellen joins them. Anna knits a striped blanket.
Megan? Huh? What do you think?
It's good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll finish up.
Megan whispers to Ellen.
I told her not to.
You feel anything?
Not yet.
I like what you said before about thinking more about somebody else.
Yeah. I think that's what being a mom is supposed to be about. You know, putting the kid first.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like I know what I'm talking about, but...
No, I think you do. You're gonna be a good mom.
Thank you. Everybody's singing
the shoe. Luke wanders in.
Good evening, ladies.
Good evening.
Hi, Luke.
Oh, what's that noise? You hear that? It's so weird. I feel like there's,
He takes a Goo Goo Cluster package from his pocket and kneels in front of Ellen.
You know you want it.
Shh. Okay, don't make it a sex thing.
It is a sex thing. Don't pretend it's not. Ready?
Opening the package.
Oh. Oh, there it is.
I can't.
You can. Chew, swallow. The world will not implode. I swear.
She eyes the candy bar.
Come on. Do it.
Do it.
She smells it.
God.
Right? Touch it.
We can hear you, freak.
Yeah, freak, don't be so gross.
Come on, just a little. Get it on you. Come on. Get it on you.
She touches it apprehensively.
Right? Okay. Now. A little bite. For me.
For you?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even like you until 5 minutes ago, so, like, maybe just, you know, not.
You like me? You like
Shut
me?
Up.
She likes
Shut
me.
Up. Don't press her luck.
She likes me. You like me.
Can we,
take
like,
a bite.
Can we be done?
You like me.
Okay,
come
seriously?
On, have a little bite.
Seriously? Back off.
Coward. Tomorrow, you bite.
He smiles as he gets up, walking out of the room.
Luke just made me touch chocolate.
He's so weird.
He's totally weird sometimes.
Megan picks up the wrapper and inhales the smell.
I think the baby just moved. Smell that. Anna, get in on that.
Is anybody watching?
Morning.
Nobody cares.
No. Ellen with
dragons.
Beckham.
So how are you doing after family therapy?
It's pretty much how it always is when my folks are together.
Minus your dad.
Like I said. But I don't feel as bad as I thought I was going to.
Why do you think that is?
I'm getting to know some of the people in the house. Some of them actually seem like they're doing okay.
I hope so.
No, I mean, really okay. Like, they might get lives and be semi-interesting people.
Did you just say something vaguely optimistic?
I did say semi. But, yeah.
So the family.
Can I be honest? I've talked about my dad. All that family stuff. I have issues. Whatever. The talk is not helping.
I think you're right.
Really?
Generally, I just need a few facts. And we're never doing family therapy again. It doesn't seem to be useful here. That was a shit show.
Yeah, that's what my sister said.
I liked her.
Yeah, me too. We get along great.
I could tell. She was the only one who had something to say that wasn't entirely self-serving.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to be honest with you.
Uh-oh.
I'm not crazy about your name.
What?
Ellen doesn't suit you. It's too old-fashioned.
I've never really liked it.
So change it.
I can't just change it. I can't, right?
Just tell people to call you by a different name. Or if you want to make it legal, you can fill out a form online in about 10 minutes. I was thinking Ellie.
Oh.
That's no good. No. How about Eli?
A trace of a smile crosses her lips. At the house, she enters Luke's room, throwing her arms up dramatically.
Call me Eli. You get your iPad?
Oh, yeah. The world opens up beyond your wildest dreams when you put on some LBs. Eli?
Yeah.
Don't tell me you're gay now, too. The male population cannot take another quality defection.
Most definitely not gay.
Thank God.
No. Eli has a new name for me. Ellen. Eli.
Hmm. I like it. It's very George Sand. You're dazzling. You know that, Eli. So, I'm officially inviting Eli to my dinner out tomorrow night. It's part of my reward. I can take anyone I want.
I'm not really restaurant ready, but thanks.
It can be your pick. It doesn't even have to be on Mr. Gold's Essential 100.
No, you should take someone who bites and chews.
We can walk there. All the way to Hollywood, or wherever, and you don't have to eat.
Can I run?
I don't run, psycho. My knee, remember?
Well, can you walk fast?
A busy street.
I read that it doesn't matter how fast you walk, it's distance. You burn the same amount of calories.
That's bullshit.
Will you just slow down a little?
I'm not even going that fast.
Asian restaurant.
I will have the number 12 with the rice and the egg roll.
Mm-hmm. Can I have the Tom Tom Kai soup?
It comes with the entree.
Oh, that's all I want.
She'll have the number 12 too with the egg roll.
No.
Yes.
No.
She'll have the number 12 too with the egg roll.
And a drink?
We'll have 2 Tsing Tao.
Your ID?
I didn't want to put you on the spot or anything, but we're from the hospice. For cancer.
I'm sorry, I can't serve you without ID.
It's just, this is our first date. It's maybe our only date. I don't know, I wanted it to be special.
The waitress looks at Eli, who averts her eyes. Luke mouths thank you very much to the waitress as she leaves.
We can pick a different disease for different restaurants.
You're so sick. We both are, actually.
Yeah.
The waitress returns with 2 large takeout soda cups.
I put it in the air so nobody would ask her questions.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, you are.
Oh,
are you? You are so wrong.
He picks up an egg roll and waves it at her.
Eh?
Mm-hmm.
Bite.
I don't like egg rolls.
Who doesn't like egg rolls? Chew and spit if you want to be lame. But you look thinner.
If I taste it, will you leave me alone?
If you taste everything, I will leave you alone.
She takes 1 bite.
Oh, yeah. So good. Yeah.
Mm.
Right?
Oh.
good, right?
Uh-huh.
Swallow that egg roll.
Blech.
She spits it out into a napkin.
Oh! Jesus Christ. That was a thing of great beauty.
That's super hot.
I know. That's what I was going for.
She tries noodles, then spits.
I find out I can pull the patient ID thing all the way up my arm and hide it underneath my t-shirt. And I just get out past the nurse's station. I just walk out.
Where were you even going?
The beach. I don't even know. But yeah, there I am just jogging down Wilshire Boulevard. I'm a full-on crazy person. And I'm driving at the light. And my mom drives up. She's on the way to the hospital.
The waitress returns.
You don't like it?
No, I do. It's just,
She just gets a bit nauseous because of, the chemo.
But it tastes really good.
The
beer really helps.
I'll get you another one. No charge.
Eli nods gratefully, but bursts into giggles when the waitress walks away.
Yes. Oh my God.
No charge.
Oh my God, we're going to hell.
Back at the house, Eli flops down onto her bed. Pearl and Anna wait up.
Did he try to kiss you?
Ew, does he even like girls?
No. I don't know.
Morning counseling session.
What I'm trying to say is, why does she get to leave the house when she's only level 2?
It was Luke's night out.
Yeah, but Ellen got to go.
It's Eli now. It might make you feel better to know that Dr. Beck scheduled a special trip for you guys in a couple of days.
Tell me it's not the Holocaust Museum.
No.
My mother took me there to make me feel shitty. You know, about starving. It's okay, we're Jewish.
Now the entire group files out from a passenger van. Dr. Beckham meets them on the sidewalk.
Damn, Dr. Beck. You're trying to turn me straight.
That's a different program. Hi, everyone.
Hey.
Okay, so this place we're going, I had to pull some strings to get us in there, so you have to behave.
Tell us. I can't stand it.
Tell us.
They walk into a room with a high ceiling. It's pitch black inside.
I don't like this.
I'm definitely getting a Holocaust fog, Doc.
It's okay, I promise.
I don't believe you.
A faint blue light glows and water cascades down from an unseen source. They all stand, staring.
What is it?
Art.
Beckham looks directly at Eli, then steps into the cascading water.
Somebody tell me why we're here!
Because we're alive.
Very good.
He backs up slowly until he's submersed in the downpour that resembles torrential rain. Looking inspired, Luke steps forward and joins him. The others watch as he splays his arms, palms up, and slowly turns in a circle as the water cascades down on him. He slowly raises his hands, bows deeply, then begins a slow dance. He's wearing a hat that he takes off, twirls it, and flips it back onto his head. The others hesitantly step forward into the water. Eli stays back, watching. Luke continues his slow, fluid dance moves.
Lose me in the dark, drag me to the deep, let your water wash over me.
Luke looks at her, tipping his hat and bowing, then points at her and steps forward, reaching out his hand. He motions for her to join him.
Thank you.
smile on her face, she accepts his hand, and he pulls her into the water and twirls her gently. They stand close together, looking toward the ceiling. The others, each seemingly lost in their own thoughts, hold up their arms and twirl in the downpour. Eli and Luke slow dance together. Now they assemble at an outdoor seating area. Their counselor meets them and offers a blanket to Pearl.
Here you go. Shake it like a chihuahua.
Luke sits at a table. Eli strolls right past him without as much as a glance. Luke looks confused and makes eye contact with Beckham. He follows Eli. She's removed herself from the group to light up a cigarette. Beckham strolls over with his hand held out for her to hand it over. She complies.
I know what you're trying to do. Life's beautiful and all that shit.
And that upsets you because?
Because it is. I mean, I know it can be, but I can't stop. And I don't even know why. I just can't.
Yeah, that's bullshit. That voice that says you can't. Every time you hear that voice, I want you to tell it to fuck off. Fuck off, boys!
Yeah! Fuck off!
Fuck you, boys!
Fuck you, boys!
Fuck you!
Fuck off!
Yeah.
Fuck! Yeah!
Woo.
Yeah! Yeah!
Fuck
yeah.
Off!
Yeah!
Fuck.
Yeah!
He pats her shoulder reassuringly and walks back to the group. She allows herself to smile.
That's what they always say.
I know.
Wait, ooh.
Eli sits down and takes out a Google cluster package, opens it, and puts it on her plate. They all watch with intrigue as she cuts it with a knife and fork. She cuts off a tiny piece and eats it. Eli realizes all eyes are on her. She glances around. Anna smiles. Luke looks proudly smug.
Try not to look too pleased with yourself.
She cuts off another small piece.
Cassidy, that's her name. It's a girl, and today she is 12 weeks and 1 day old.
Oh my God!
Can we have the baby shower now?
Yes, but just don't be a spaz about it, okay?
The living room is decorated for the baby shower. Megan wears a paper flower crown and opens presents, including stuffed animals, Anna's knitted blanket, and a sketch of a unicorn standing on two legs with a pregnant belly and flowing mane and tail.
I mean, that's one sassy unicorn!
Megan hugs Eli.
Drew that
It's awesome.
I love you guys, and thank you.
Cheers. She opens more gifts, including baby clothes. Then they laugh and dance. Luke spins Eli, then dips her. Later, in the backyard, he pushes her gently on the swing.
It's so crazy.
It's so high. I'm actually quite terrified.
50 feet up.
Here we go.
She hops off.
Whoa. All right, now it's your turn.
Oh, I better not. Fucking knee.
That knee.
Yep.
They sit down on the ground. Eli lights a cigarette. Luke tries to shimmy closer to her, eventually offering his hand. Seeming reluctant at first, Eli takes it.
sorry.
Did somebody bad touch you as a kid or something? It's a big Rexy thing.
No. Not really.
Let's talk about that really.
Just normal shit. The second you get boobs, it's like open season. You guys are pretty disgusting that way.
We could at least have some manners about it. Not rub up against you guys on the bus.
Oh, bus rubbing. Titty grabbing. Gross dirty talk. Light stalking.
You're all basically just a bunch of portable holds for men to fuck.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So, have you done it? Or was it just too appalling?
Entirely too appalling.
Ever had an orgasm?
God.
Sorry, you don't.
Personal.
You don't have to answer that. It's different for guys, you know. It's very different. There it is. Bobbing at you. Just bobbing. Begging to be manhandled.
Aw. That's way too much information.
I mean, not right now, but it could be.
Okay.
I need to do my research, and you need to be touched by someone who actually cares about you.
Luke.
He leans in and kisses her. She reclines onto the ground, and he follows, still kissing her. They pull apart, and Luke looks at her with affection.
I'm falling in love with you.
She swats him and leaps up.
God! Luke, really?
I'm sorry.
No, sorry, it's just...
You're right. It'd be like slapping two bags of bones together anyway. We should go back inside.
Hey, what the fuck?
What the fuck what?
Suddenly you decide this is a physical thing and I'm caught by surprise and now you're just gonna go pout and make this my
fault?
All right,
I'm sorry. Obviously, it was a bad idea. I just thought if you knew I wanted it to be good or different...
And you're falling in love with me?
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to unleash the Kraken.
I've known you for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, well, I've known you for 2 years. Your drawing, the way you see things...
Yeah? Okay. This Rexy girl who saw my stuff on Tumblr like the way I saw. So much that when she slit her wrists, she left me the fucking note. And you know what her parents did? They sent me pictures. So I'd really know what I'd done. People say they love you. But what they mean is they love how loving you makes them feel about themselves. Or they love what they can take from you.
I don't even know where to start with that. There's all kinds of wrong.
Done.
Okay. All right, you win. All right, you're the queen of darkness.
She storms inside and up the stairs.
Come on!
Luke stands at the bottom of the stairs, looking deflated. A view of the exterior of the house at night, then the dark, quiet interior. Eli does vigorous sit-ups in her bed, wincing. Hearing the screams, she bolts out of bed toward the bathroom.
Megan, it's Luke, let me in.
Lobo unlocks the door and goes in. Luke, Eli, and Anna stand in the doorway. Unseen, Lobo comforts Megan. Megan wears white. She sits on the floor in a pool of blood.
I know, I'm sorry.
Guys, go back to bed.
Lobo closes the door on the others. They stay standing in the hallway. Morning. Luke and the young woman sit around the dining table. Megan's chair is empty.
Can you push a baby out by throwing up too hard?
Yeah, that's exactly how it happens. Don't be an idiot.
Beckham walks in.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. How's Megan?
She's at the hospital. She's fine now, physically. She's not sure she wants to come back here, which I understand.
Can we visit her?
Not yet, but I think in a few days that's exactly what she needs.
I want to go home.
He looks at Pearl.
I bet you do. Listen, bad things are going to happen. That's not negotiable. What is how you deal with it.
He takes a folded piece of paper from his jacket pocket and holds it out to Anna.
Did you read this?
Do I have to?
No.
Okay.
She stands up and reads from the paper.
Courage, by Anne Sexton. It is in the small things that we see it. A child's first step, as awesome as an earthquake. The first time you rode a bike, wallowing up the sidewalk. The first spanking when your heart went on a journey all alone. When they called you crybaby, or poor, or fatty, or crazy, and made you into an alien. You drank their acid and you concealed it.
Eli looks lost in thought. A flashback shows her running up and down the stairs to burn calories.
Later, if you face the death of bombs and bullets, you did not do it with a banner. You did it with only a hat to cover your heart. You did not fondle the weakness inside you, though it was there. Your courage was a small coal that you kept swallowing.
Flashback. Eli does a weigh-in. Group counseling session.
So Megan did decide to go home.
Anybody want to talk about that?
Luke is absent.
It's her fault. She was purging.
I think Megan wanted her baby. I really think she did.
She shouldn't have had the shower.
No, I don't think it was that. Eli, you and Luke found her. It must have been hard.
That baby was never gonna make it. Where is Luke anyway?
He's at the doctor for his knee. Eli?
She refuses eye contact.
Eli.
Later, she meets with Dr. Beckham.
What's going on with you?
Nothing.
Lobo tells me you're about a day away from getting the tube. You've been making progress, but you can't stay at threshold if you drop any more weight.
I just think it's so weird that you know everything about me. And I don't know anything about you.
Okay. What do you want to know?
Do you have a wife?
No.
Do you have kids?
No.
So what's your damage?
Short version, my work. It takes up all my time, and I like it that way. Women generally want to spend time with somebody they date.
Sounds like you're avoiding intimacy, doctor.
Yeah, I guess it does. Lobo also tells me that you and Luke aren't speaking. It seemed like you and Luke had something good going.
Whatever, he's totally gay.
That would be easier, right? Then you could write him off.
Does he talk to you about me?
You know I can't answer that.
I just don't see the point.
In what? There is no point. Or at least big picture, we don't get to know what it is. Why we live, why Megan lost the baby, why that girl killed herself.
You're not reassuring me, Doctor.
I can't reassure you. This idea you have that there's a way to be safe, it's childish and cowardly. It stops you from experiencing anything, including anything good.
You don't think I feel bad enough already? I know I'm messed up. But you're supposed to teach me how not to be.
You know how. Stop waiting for life to be easy. Stop hoping for somebody to save you. You don't need another person lying to you. Things don't all add up. But you're resilient. Face some hard facts, and you could have an incredible life.
That's your pearl of wisdom? Grow a pair?
That's a more concise way of putting it. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Fuck you.
Eli storms out. At the house, she packs.
What's going on?
Beck's messed up, you know that? We all buy the hype, but nobody here is getting any better.
That's not true.
Yeah? Megan's screwed. Anna has a treasure chest of puke on her bed. You live in fucking Ponyland. I'm about to get the tube and he doesn't even care.
She descends the stairs and comes face to face with Luke on crutches.
Shit.
I need another surgery. That's it for me and the illustrious Jersey Ballet.
Seriously?
Yeah. Come on, put your bag down. Let's go get another cans of beer.
I can't. Sorry, I'm actually out of here.
Did you hear what I said? I'm finished. And you're leaving?
I can't.
What, you think I didn't guess my knee was fucked? And now that I'm done doing the one thing that makes me feel, you're my next thing. I know that that's not a plan. It's not a good one, anyway. But I need you, Eli.
She turns to look at him. She is thinner and frailer than ever, with dark circles around her eyes. She walks down the second staircase and out of the house. At a bus station, Eli uses a woman's phone, returning it when she's done.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Sure.
She sits in a waiting area, seeming to collect her thoughts. She sighs deeply and stands up. Shown in slow motion, a white light flashes and her eyes slide close. She falls backwards.
There is no that girl killed herself.
Like a ghost. If you die, I will kill you.
She wakes on the station floor.
You okay, honey?
A couple stands over her.
I just got up too fast. Sorry.
Takeout box.
You need to eat, girl.
I'm fine. But thank you. I just need to get home.
They help Eli up. Now evening. She sits by a window on an otherwise empty bus. She seems lost in thought, then reaches over to check her arm circumference. Her fingers now wrap all the way around her upper arm. She exhales and her eyes slide closed. Morning. Susan and Kelly confront Beckham on the front porch of the transition house.
What kind of place is this where your patients can just walk off like that and nobody stops her?
The problem with treatment for some of these kids is that we won't let them hit bottom. It's too hard to watch. But for Eli, the bottom is critical.
Elsewhere, Eli gets off the bus at a Greyhound station. Her mother Judy and her partner are there to meet her. Judy looks horrified at Eli's gaunt appearance.
How is there even less of you? What did that doctor do to you?
He won't.
Is this all you've got?
Yeah.
All right, well, everybody's waiting for you.
Everybody? Horses, they're very sweet beasts.
Evening. In a log cabin-style house, they sit at the dinner table.
Olive and I were worried that it wasn't going to work out with that doctor.
Well, he had such an attitude.
Oh, God complex. Totally dismissive.
And Susan.
I mean, he really let her attack us.
He just wanted everybody to be honest.
I don't like to speak negatively, but that woman's never said an honest word in her life.
Of course, your father doesn't go home. Can you imagine?
She fought really hard to get me in the Threshold House.
Yeah, look how well that turned out. And how about the way she talked about your mother's breakdowns?
They were transformational for me. Everybody should have more breakdowns.
Didn't feel that way about them when they happened.
Judy looks indignant.
Dr. Beckham called here earlier. He thought you might turn up.
He did? What did you say?
Well, that you decided to leave. He wanted to make sure you were okay. A boy wanted to speak with you? Luke? Is this somebody special?
I don't know. He's my friend, kind of. It all got fucked up.
Olive gives Judy a prompting look.
In the morning, Olive would like you to work with Freya.
The horse?
Olive has grown tremendously out here. You'll thank me.
But isn't that kind of like a conflict? Her giving me therapy?
Freya does all the work. I'm just a conduit.
Oh.
Yeah, she's just a conduit.
Tent.
There's no electricity, but I think it's not so cold. You'll be okay. You're gonna sleep anyway.
Yeah, I'm tired.
There's a bedpan here, so if you need it, it's better than stumbling around in the dark.
Okay. People pay money to stay here.
It's rustic. They love it.
The large dome tent has a full-sized bed, carpet, a chest of drawers, and is lit with candle-filled lanterns. Judy sits down on the bed.
Ellen.
Eli.
You know, Ellen was your great-grandmother's name.
I bet she didn't like it either.
You know, I had a premonition before you came.
Really?
You were a baby. I didn't hold you enough. I didn't bond with you. And of course, that's true. I didn't know about postpartum depression.
I don't think that's it.
Well, anyway, I spoke to Jean Williamson about it. Do you remember her?
The pastor?
No, she wrote The Pure Way of Light. She's very interested in Olive's work and has been a great comfort to me around your illness. And she feels that it would be healing for the both of us if you allowed me to feed you.
She gets up, then returns with a baby bottle, sitting back down.
It's rice milk. I made it myself.
Like a baby?
Well, like a mother and a child. I could hold you and rock you, and you could go to sleep.
I don't know.
No, I know. I know, it's odd. But, well, as she said it, I felt real clarity that that's what we need.
Can I think about it?
Yeah. Okay.
Judy puts the bottle down, looking emotional.
There's, not much left of you to lose. You know that. Dr. Beckham made that clear.
I know.
He said it's your choice whether you come back or not. But I could tell that he was afraid that you're gonna die. Ellen, my baby. I know. I'm sorry. I just want you to know that I accept it. If death is what you want, I accept it now. I accept it, but I love you. I can't keep fighting you. Right? Okay.
Judy gets up to leave.
Mom! Feed me, please. Yeah.
Returning inside and sitting on the bed, Judy picks up the bottle. They rearrange themselves so Eli is sitting on her lap.
Okay. Can you hold this? Hold on. Okay. Do you mind if I put your feet down? Okay. Are you comfortable? Okay.
Eli nestles her head into Judy's shoulder and allows her to put the bottle in her mouth.
Yeah. Okay.
Eli cries as Judy rocks her.
Mama's gonna buy a mockingbird. And if that mockingbird don't sing, Mama's gonna buy you a diamond ring. And if that diamond ring turns brass, Mama's gonna buy you
a scene from the outside of the tent. Judy rocks and feeds her, the image getting smaller and smaller. Later, Eli emerges from the tent alone, glancing across the dark yard toward the main house. She sees the lights go out. Standing in the pitch black yard, she glances up to a full moon. She starts walking. Silhouetted in the distance, she hikes up a steep hill. Now she is asleep on a craggy rock, the moon still full in the night sky. She stirs and wakens, glancing up at the sky, staring at the full moon.
Okay.
The moon morphs into the sun. Luke stands over her. Eli lies on the dirt wearing different clothes, looking healthier. Her hair is styled and worn loose, and she wears makeup.
You need to get out of the sun. You're frying. There's a tree.
She sits up on the desert rocks, looking across to a figure in white, leaning against a tree. Wearing a knee-length white nightgown, she walks toward it. Eli, in the same nightgown, leans against a tree. Another version of herself sits up on a tree branch.
I don't get to have a sister.
Now Luke sits on the tree branch and takes Eli's hand.
You're dazzling. You know that?
I do not.
She kisses him. She smiles at him, looking happy. The Eli that leans against the tree looks up, watching them. She looks down from the tree branch. In the dirt lies a naked and emaciated Eli, asleep in the fetal position.
Oh my God, is that me? That's me.
Wind blows dirt over her skeletal frame.
Your courage. It's a small coal that you keep swallowing.
Luke disappears, but she holds a piece of coal in her palm. She places it in her mouth and swallows. Coughing, she wakes up on the rocks, dirty, disheveled, and frail. Looking disoriented, she blinks against the daylight. Sitting up slowly, she looks around, shielding her eyes against the sun. The craggy rocks are dotted with scrub brush, and the sky is clear blue. She glances around, looking confused. Then places two fingers under her chin, checking for a pulse. She looks skyward and smiles, seeming relieved.
Not dead.
She slowly walks along the rocks, then climbs to a peak. She smiles and looks down at a small town, surrounded by desert mountain ranges.
Follow the sun, in which way the wind blows, when this day.
Now Eli gets out of a taxi cab and walks across the front lawn of a single-story beige house. Susan and Kelly come out to greet her. She wraps her arms around Susan, hugging her tightly. Susan seems surprised.
I'm gonna be okay.
Yeah.
Kelly joins in the hug.
Whenever you do this again, I'm gonna punch you in the vagina.
Susan and Eli laugh at Kelly's comment. Next, they arrive back at the transition house, getting out of Susan's SUV. Eli hugs Susan and Kelly.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Eli takes a deep breath and walks along to the front door.
Follow the sun.
Anna waits on the front porch and waves. Others come to the door.
When this day is done.
Title, To the Bone. Credits, written and directed by Marty Noxon, produced by Julie Lin, Bonnie Curtis, Karina Miller, Andrea Lervolino, and Monica Bacardi. Executive producers, Talal Al-Abar, Joseph Lanius, Anita Goh, and Matthew J. Malek. Co-producers, Allison Avery Jordan and Shay Kammer. Starring Lily Collins as Eli, Carrie Preston as Susan, Lily Taylor as Judy, and Keanu Reeves as Dr. Beckham. Also starring Alex Sharp as Luke, Liana Liberato as Kelly, Brooke Smith as Olive, Leslie Bibb as Megan, Catherine Prescott as Anna, Sierra Quinn Bravo as Tracy, Maya Eshet as Pearl, Lindsay McDowell as Kendra, Retta as Lobo, Joanna Sanchez as Rosa, and Alana Ubach as Karen. Ambi Entertainment and Sparkhouse Media present, in association with Foxtail Entertainment, and in association with Ambi Distribution, a Mockingbird Pictures production, a Sparkhouse Media production. Copyright 2017 To the Bone Holdings, LLC. All rights reserved. Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix.